This is Sic transit gloria mundi, so passes the glory of the world. A Stargate SG-1 fanfic, written by Agent Otter and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13, pairing Daniel Jackson, Jack O'Neill, with additional tags for off-screen apocalypse, end of the world, starting over. If he'd ever really thought about it, Jack probably would have expected the end of the world to be a big thing, some kind of huge emergency, and they'd all toil away underneath the mountain, valiantly fighting to the end. He'd always kind of assumed that if Earth went, all of them would go with it, and so he never really thought of the end of the world as something he'd have to keep on dealing with after the fact. He would have figured that your average apocalypse would really mean the end of everything. As it turned out, it wasn't quite like that. There was a whole thing with the Tok'ra and an undercover mission going horribly wrong, as per usual, but then they'd been on their way home in Jacob's Teltac, and they went flying right past Jupiter, and Cotter said something very smart about gas giants, and Daniel said something very smart-assed about Jack's intestinal system in retaliation, and they were all so distracted by their own clever wit that Jack was the first one to notice that something was wrong. He pointed out at the empty space where he was pretty sure Earth should have been, and said, "Hey, does anybody remember where we parked the car?" Soon after that, there was Sam crying into her father's shoulder, and Daniel sitting against the wall and sort of staring at nowhere, and Teal'c solemnly piloting the Teltac toward the nearest Stargate. Jack sat in the co-pilot's chair and stared out into the blackness and tried very hard not to think about anything at all. They went to the Alpha site because it was SOP and because they couldn't think of anything smarter to do. Jack was a little surprised to find people there, though. He'd almost expected the destruction to be absolute, and every trace of their old lives wiped away as if none of it had ever been real at all. The cluster of P-90s and artillery that greeted their arrival seemed pretty real, though, and so did Major Davis, pushing between two burly SFs and saying, "Welcome home, SG-1. Nobody bothered to point out that they weren't really home, that there was no home anymore. SG-1 bedded down together that night in a single tent, because the evacuation had left the Alpha site with more people than supplies. And if Daniel curled against Jack's back, and Carter huddled against his chest, and Teal'c watched over them all like a meditating grizzly, then Jack wasn't going to complain. After that, there were shelters to construct and plans to make, and a long time after that, there were fields to harvest and babies to birth and wells to dig. When there was enough lumber and labor that houses could be built for families instead of platoons, SG-1 still lived together for a while, but this time under a nice solid roof with a nice warm fireplace. Then Teal'c moved out to live with Sergeant Dooney, who, as it turned out, was going to have a baby. And Carter moved out to live with Paul Davis, of all people. And Daniel moved out of his bed and into Jack's, because it seemed like the thing to do at the time. A season or two after they'd turned their refugee camp into a thriving village, everybody thought it might be a good idea to have a government and elections and give up on the whole military command structure thing. Jack didn't mind, because it meant fewer meetings and decisions and more fishing. But he was surprised when the populace elected Sam Carter as their governor. Not that she wouldn't do a good job, but the last he'd heard, she wasn't even running. The morning he realized that it had been 10 years to the day since they had sailed up to the empty space where Earth used to be, he limped out onto the porch and used the little bread oven/barbecue to cook up a little something he'd been holding back for a special occasion. Daniel shuffled out the door a few minutes later, still rubbing sleep from his eyes. He wasn't wearing anything but an olive drab blanket that had SGC stenciled on one corner. He said, "My God, is that coffee?" Jack served up a scant mugful for each of them and watched Daniel sip slowly at the bitter MRE beverage as if it were a direct route to Nirvana. It took him over an hour to polish off his mug, and when he did, he stared into the empty mug with such a dejected expression on his face that Jack reheated the contents of his own half-empty cup and passed it over. When all the coffee was gone, and even the smell had been overpowered by the wood smoke from the oven, Daniel said, "So, 10 years." Jack nodded his agreement and said, "Yep, 10 years. Normally, at that point in their yearly ritual, they proceeded straight into hours of wild sex. But this time, Daniel hummed and said, "It's pretty nice here. I don't think about it much anymore." Jack said, "It's even nicer inside." Daniel dropped the blanket from his shoulders before he was even through the door. They didn't think about Earth, or much of anything else, for quite a while after that. The end.